6 minutes after the hour of 12 noon, Monday, February 14th, 2022. Dave Krieger with you. It's Valentine's Day. Yes, do something nice for your loved one. Yeah, that's right. I get a great Valentine's Day gift. Buy her a gun safety course. And, of course, you know what goes with that. Give her selection of her favorite handgun. That would be fun. And so she gets to go to the shooting range and learn how to disassemble, clean, and do all that other stuff and have respect for the weapon. And speaking of which, we have the gentleman who's in charge of the website crimeresearch.org back with us again. Our toll-free number, 844-769-2944. John Lott, Jr., we've had him on the air before. And the thing is, he's the author of this work, Gun Control Myths, How Politicians, the Media, and Botched Studies Have Twisted the Facts on Gun Control. Today is no different. We have heard about the CIA amassing a database of Americans. That's not supposed to be their function. We've also heard recently that there is a list of American gun owners. Now, for what purpose would they do? And we're going to find out whether this is constitutional or not. Dr. John Lott joins us here again on the Power Hour. Welcome, sir.
Great to talk to you again. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Well, I mean, you're the go-to guy when it comes to all of this because you are just totally ingrained in this research. And Americans want to know. They have inquiring minds, especially our Power Hour listeners at Power Hour Nation. And the thing is that since you are an economist and a world-recognized expert on guns and crimes, you founded the Crime Prevention Research Center. You've held research and teaching positions at various academic institutions. I mean, you've been around. You've contributed to The Hill, Fox News, Townhall.com. So, I mean, who else other than a prolific author for both academic and popular publications would be worthy of being on this broadcast? I mean, our people want solutions. Hopefully you're here to give them to them. So we appreciate your coming on the show. And right now we have this guns first approach to violent crime, which apparently is ignoring basic facts. What, pray tell, would those be?
Right. Well, I mean, everybody's concerned about the increase in violent crime. What Biden, who's really just focusing on guns, even when he talks about police and when he talks about prosecutors, he's talking about them in terms of enforcing gun control laws. What he's ignoring is that over 92% of violent crime has nothing to do with guns. I mean, I can go and talk about the fact that even his gun control proposals are going to backfire, but even if they work perfectly, he's only dealing with 8% of violent crime. And, you know, whether it's violent crime with guns or violent crime without guns, it's not a mystery on how to take care of it. What you do is you make it risky for criminals to go and commit crime. And you do that by making it more likely that they'll be caught by the police and prosecuted. You know, Biden, when he went to New York recently, really wanted to make a dent. One thing he could have done is to criticize the district attorneys in New York City who prosecute anybody who has a misdemeanor, and many people even have felonies that they've committed. He would have castigated the city of New York for cutting the police budget by $1 billion. He would have spoken out about the fact that over half the inmates have been released from jails and prisons in the area. And he would have gone after the bail reform that they have there, where you have people committing crimes who have been released on basically no bail multiple times. You know, it's not, as I say, rocket science if you make it so that criminals don't face real risks. Instead, you know, his number one proposal when he was in New York City was to go and talk about going after rogue gun dealers. that he describes as licensed dealers who are supposedly selling their guns out of the back of their stores to criminals. But, you know, that's not what's happening. Nobody wants that to happen anyway, but that's not what's happening. What his proposal is to look over the last 15 years or so of paperwork for various licensed gun dealers. And if they can find any paperwork mistake, no matter how trivial, no matter how inconsequential, he wants to take away their license and drive them out of business. And that's just going to make it more difficult, more costly for people to be able to go and buy guns. I mean, you talk to any business, and you say, I'm going to look at all your paperwork over the last 15 years, and no matter how tiny or trivial of a paperwork mistake, if we can find anything that we deem constitutes a paperwork mistake, you'll be out of business. I mean, what percent of businesses in the United States would be still in business? And, you know, so it's not, you know, it's his policy is just going to drive up the cost of guns and making it even harder for the very people that my research indicates who benefit the most from owning guns. Poor minorities who live in high crime urban areas are going to be able to still obtain a gun to protect themselves and their families. And I think that's really the end result that he wants. Unfortunately.
Interesting. And so the thing is that with them possessing this database, is that constitutional?
Okay, now this is a little bit different issue. This is the database that they've been putting together under Biden of people who have obtained guns over recent years. What they've done is, so the federal law right now bans explicitly the federal government from keeping background checks for more than 24 hours in order to, and it says explicitly, in order to prevent the federal government from creating a database of gun owners in the United States. Well, the Biden administration, being too cute by half, you know, thinks that they found a loophole, and they're saying, well, we're not keeping the background check information. What we're doing is we're just requiring that the FFLs who have the paperwork themselves kind of turn it over and digitize it and send it in to the federal government. And they've put together a database now of about 866 million transactions involving guns in the United States. And so you can now have a federal agent go and plug somebody's name into a computer, and it's not a complete list of all the legal gun owners in the United States, but it's going to have a lot of information there where they're going to be able to go and plug in your name and see what guns you've obtained over time. So anybody who obtained a new gun from a licensed dealer or bought a gun from a licensed dealer, or in the so-called universal background check states where you have to go through a licensed dealer to transfer a gun, so a background check is done through the licensed dealer at that point. Any of those people who obtained a gun legally in those ways could have their name in this list. And to be honest, I think that's one of the reasons why Biden has also been trying to push for these universal background checks nationwide so that they would have a more complete list of all legal gun owners in the United States.
Interesting, Dr. Lott. 844-769-2944 is our number to call. Sherry in Kansas, you are on the phone with Dr. John Lott.
Dr. Lott, the law that I've heard that San Jose City just passed about basically not calling it a tax, but it's a tax on gun owners. If you lived in San Jose, what would you be doing now?
Well, I think the same thing that most people are going to be doing, and that is they're probably going to, the law-abiding citizens are going to be obeying the law. It's going to make it more costly, and I'm sure the point of this is just to reduce the number of people who legally own guns. There may be some people who try not to do it, but California has a fairly extensive database of gun owners in the state. And so, you know, if you've legally obtained a gun in California over the last couple decades, there's a good chance that they know whether or not your name's on the list there and whether or not you own a gun. So it's going to be a little hard for a lot of people to hide whether or not they own a gun. But look, you just see in general, Democrats have realized that they can't completely ban guns, and so their approach has been to make it as costly as possible as they can. So, I mean, and this is not in California. You see this all over the place. You look at these universal background checks. In a place like Washington, D.C., it costs $125 to go and privately transfer a gun. But let's say you and I lived in D.C., and I'm going to go and give you four guns. It's just myself giving you four guns, only two people involved, the same person getting all the guns. You would think there should just be one background check because one person's getting the guns. But no, they'll require a separate background check on each gun that's transferred. So rather than a cost of $125, it would cost $500 for me to transfer you the guns. There's like no logical reason other than just to try to make it costly for people to be able to get guns.
Doesn't that meet the definition of infringed on the San Jose law? I mean, you know, the Second Amendment shall not be infringed.
Sure. I agree with you. But, you know, essentially all gun control laws infringe. And let me put you this way. I've taught in law schools and stuff. And one of the questions I've asked from time to time has been, you know, take the First Amendment where the First Amendment says Congress shall pass no law, you know, abridging freedom of speech, or they have other parts there with religion and what have you. You know, that's a pretty bright line, right? You know, but with the Supreme Court over time, and courts in general like to fuzz things up because it gives them power to get involved in things that they otherwise couldn't get involved in. So the way the courts have interpreted Congress shall pass no law is that Congress shall pass no law unless Congress has a good reason for passing the law. And the Supreme Court will determine whether or not that's a good reason. They think it's a good reason or not. So that essentially gives a huge amount of power to the courts, and judges like to have power. And, you know, the same thing is true with the Second Amendment, shall not infringe. I mean, the question I've often asked students or others is, let's say the people who wrote the Bill of Rights really meant Congress shall pass no law. What would they have to write? Would they have to write Congress shall never, ever, 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 ever pass a law? Simply saying Congress shall pass no law, you would think that that would be pretty clear. But, you know, there's all sorts of regulations on, like, campaign finance and other things that the courts have allowed over time simply because politicians say they have good reasons for passing restrictions on those things. And the same thing has been true with guns. Now, one thing I will say, and what you're bringing up, and that is there is well-established Supreme Court precedent with regard to, let's say, things like a tax on a newspaper. If you pass a one-penny tax on just newspapers, I guarantee you the courts would very quickly strike that down because there's well-established precedent that says that the power to attach a tax, a fundamental right, is the power to destroy. Now, you would think if that applies to the First Amendment, it would very likely also ultimately apply to the Second. But you're going to have to, I don't know, maybe pick up one more Supreme Court justice, I think, at least, to be able to get that type of ruling through. You're going to lose Roberts, probably, and you're going to lose I can think of maybe one other person that you could lose on that case. And but in any case, I understand your logic, and I think the logic that you have there is consistent with Supreme Court precedent with regard to the First Amendment.
Well, I'll leave you with this. I believe what I agree with Andrew Jackson. It's just an opinion. Enforce it, you know.
Right, well,
thank you.
Unfortunately, right now, you're depending upon the courts to rein in the people who would be making the types of statements that you were just saying, the president and the Congress, and whether or not they're going to do that, you know, there are probably limits. Well, there's a case right now before the U.S. Supreme Court that they heard this last November coming out of New York. New York has what's called a May issue concealed carry law, where people have to, who are applying for a concealed handgun permit, have to give what's called proper cause, or to put in regular English, means a good reason for why they should be allowed to protect themselves and their families outside their homes. And my guess is there's probably at least, there could be six votes in favor of striking down New York's restrictions that are there. There are seven of these may issue states, and that includes not just New York, but California, New Jersey, Maryland, Massachusetts, Hawaii, and there are 43 so-called right to carry and or constitutional carry states. Just to give you an idea, the seven may issue states only have about a half of 1% of the adult population with concealed handgun permits. And in the 43 states, they have about 11%, over 11% of the adult population with permits. And it's basically, they make it costly. They don't accept a lot of people's reasons. I got the data a few years ago from Los Angeles County. They had a little bit over 300 concealed handgun permits in an adult population of about 8 million people. The only people that they seem to think gave good reasons for why they should be able to go and protect themselves were basically wealthy white males, some Asian males, who often gave political donations to the county sheriff for his reelection campaign. You know, nationwide, we've about 28% of permit holders are women. In Los Angeles County, it's only 7%. Nationwide, it's over 12% of permit holders are black. In Los Angeles County, it was just 5%, less than half of their share of the population in Los Angeles County. For Hispanics, over 54% of the population in Los Angeles County is Hispanic, but only 6.5% of the permit holders are Hispanic. Is it just that women in Los Angeles County aren't being stalked or threatened with crimes as they are in the rest of the country, or that blacks who live in Watts or other areas in Los Angeles County aren't going to be victims of violent crime? No. I mean, that's absurd. It's just that the people who are in charge of determining whether or not you have a good reason, which is pretty much just Democrats in this area, the only people that they believe provide good reasons are wealthy, politically connected people, which is, I'm glad they're able to protect themselves. But if my research convinces me of anything, it's they're not the ones who benefit the most. They're not the ones who are most likely victims of violent crime. If my research convinces me of anything, it's largely poor blacks who live in high-crime urban areas who are the ones who benefit the most. Hispanics also benefit highly, but they're not the ones who are being approved for giving good reasons. And so hopefully that will change when the Supreme Court decision comes down.
Well, Sherry, in Kansas, we appreciate your calling and the questions, and Dr. Lott, those answers. Is there any state in particular or states where the gun legislation has basically opened it up? I know that Texas was ranked number one in the amount of law enforcement officers that were deceased in 2021, because I've been reading a lot of these studies. And I don't really believe that it was a lot of them were due to COVID, but there were some shooting deaths. I just wonder where do you consider guns to be, having possession of a gun to be the freest as far as the United States states are concerned?
Well, and your point about police officers' death, actually California is almost always the state that leads in terms of the number of police officers who have been killed. In any case, I mean, there are a lot of states. We have 21 constitutional carry states now. I mean, you can go from Idaho and Montana down to Arizona, across to, Oklahoma and Iowa, down to Texas and Mississippi, West Virginia, Tennessee, Kentucky, and then up in the Northeast with New Hampshire, Vermont, and Maine. You have a huge, and there, it's very likely that Georgia is going to soon pass, and Alabama looks very likely to pass, and there's a good chance that Nebraska. So I wouldn't be surprised, and Ohio is also moving forward. So there's a good chance that by the middle of this year, you'll have 25 of the states which will be constitutional carrying. What that means is that as long as you're a law-abiding citizen who can pass a criminal background check, you're going to be able to go and carry a permanent, carry a concealed handgun for protection. I think that will make it. The big changes that will have is that, let's say, a woman's being stalked or threatened. Many of these states, there's some that you can get a permit within like 30 days. Most of them are going to be 60 days, or some are 90 days. If a woman's being stalked or threatened, she may not have the luxury of waiting 60 days or whatever before she can legally carry a gun to be able to protect herself, but also lower the cost.
Sure. Dr. John Lott, we appreciate your time. We're at the break and we're out of time, but thanks so much for joining us and making some clarifications on our caller's concerns. Dave Krieger with you on the Power Hour, and we will be back with more news and commentary and your phone calls after this short break. Stay with us.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone, or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com, or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. When talking of great immune support, a line of products comes to my mind. That's North American Herb & Spice. We carry the Resvital Calf, Sinuoraga, Oreganol Juice, Purely-C, Chaga Max, Collagen Power Plus, Oregarest, Super Strength Oregano Oil, Black Seed, and many more. Support small businesses when you buy from the good guys. Go to thepowermall.com or call 877-817-9829.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the Optivita Silver Lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
This craft that the Strokes family had of recognizing the medicinal value of herbs by taste and then putting formulas together, knowing the herbal ingredients they needed, but putting them together in perfect proportion by taste, just like a chef would, the Strokes Heart Drops, the world-famous Strokes Heart Drops that saved my life, Jim Strokes's and many others, my dad, my list goes on and on. But those Heart Drops, they were developed, created 40 years ago for Jim himself after a heart attack. Now, this formula fixed my high blood pressure over 20 years ago, and I have had great blood pressure since.
Call Jay at 877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Thirty-three minutes after the hour of 12 noon on Valentine's Day. That's right, Monday, February 14th. We are almost halfway. Well, no, we are halfway through the month because there are 28 days in February, right? Last time I checked. At least that's what I was taught in school. My, how things have changed, haven't they? Dave Krieger with you on the Power Hour here. We move into that COVID-related news that we were talking about earlier that we were going to attempt to avoid and save it until after the interview with Dr. John Lott. And, of course, we always appreciate him coming on the show because there's always new twists and turns to the gun laws out there. And the only reason that I can think that they're trying to put a database together is for means of control. They want to know who has the guns. And the more of these registrations that Dr. Lott has indicated there are, it means probably the more scared our government is, because every time that some stupid law goes into effect, or the argument that this law should go into effect that has anything to do with guns or anything to do with crime, the number of gun sales goes up. But, you know, it's kind of weird. If you look at the statistics, who all the people are that are buying guns, as John Lott indicated, it was mostly people of the white race. And that is not a racist comment. I wonder why so many people are going out and buying guns and ammunition and stocking up on food if they didn't anticipate that something might happen. And the reason I say this is things in any kind of disaster, which I'm writing about in my book, Doomed to Repeat, that's going to be out soon. I've got a couple of chapters and some appendices left to edit, and then it's going to go to press. And here's the thing. When you're talking about Doomed to Repeat, it means that the history that we're supposed to be remembering, we're forgetting. We're letting the media and what the left is doing influence what history has taught us, just simply trying to defend our position in this crazy mixed up situation we call the United States government. Again, government is supposed to be representing we the people, not the other way around. So when you see the big uptick in guns, it must mean something. Now, I know there's a lot of critics out there that have said, Dave, you're trying to promote a civil war. No. A lot of the people that we've had on the show are all saying just the opposite, that they don't think we'll have a civil war. However, understand that if you have an population that is armed the way this population is, that in of itself, like the nuclear arms race, is a deterrent to civil war, wouldn't you think? 844-769-2944 if you want to call and chime in on that. Because I don't believe that people want a civil war, but if, like what happened in Hurricane Katrina, armed troops, mercenaries, if you will, Blackwater was there, we know they were, but they had armed troops going house to house, taking guns away from people. Why? Why did they have to do that? People are using these things for protection, and here you have these armed troops showing up at people's doors. You know, the Posse Comitatus Act has something to say about that as well. We're not talking about drug dealers here. We're talking about law-abiding citizens having their guns confiscated because they happen to be involved and survived Hurricane Katrina. And when you put FEMA in charge of programs like Operation Cable Splicer and Operation Garden Plot, and if you don't believe that those two programs exist, try researching what happened back in the Reagan years, because these programs do indeed exist. Operation Cable Splicer is a program that talks about the federal government taking over counties and cities and how they're going to do it. Operation Garden Plot is how to take control of a population, all the way down to the individual doorstep of law-abiding citizens that are carrying firearms that are registered, that they have a database of. Somebody's going to have to file a lawsuit against this stuff. You'll see it coming. Don't worry. Now, as far as COVID goes, Epic Times is reporting that two men who are fully vaccinated against COVID are suing the city and state of New York for unconstitutional racial discrimination for directing medical providers to consider race in distributing life-saving treatments. The lawsuit comes after former Secretary of HUD, Ben Carson, ridiculed the city's directive as an example of critical race theory in action. I certainly don't think that the virus discriminates, Carson, a retired neurosurgeon, told the Chris Salcedo Show last month. I think it takes everybody, and this is an absolute absurdity. We've gone crazy. This is, you know, the critical race theory infiltrating everything. Plaintiffs Jonathan Roberts, 61, and Charles Vavruska, 55, are ineligible for treatments because they're non-Hispanic whites, say their lawyers at Sacramento, California-based Pacific Legal Foundation, a national public interest law firm. PLF senior attorney Anastasia Bowden said this policy is part of a growing trend to continuously view the world in terms of race, not to see people as individuals, but solely as members of Congress or the groups they're born into, and to dole out benefits and burdens on the basis of immutable characteristics. That's exactly what the 14th Amendment was intended to prohibit. That amendment was meant to allow people to be seen as individuals and to make race an arbitrary and unimportant characteristic, Bowden told the Epic Times. We put the story out. New York is elevating race above everything else, hence the lawsuit. You see, and this is what the thing is. Unless you have money or you have a legal foundation like Pacific Legal Foundation that is willing to take up your case because they believe it is unconstitutional, it costs money to file a lawsuit. It does. And the thing is that this is what our government understands. This is what these private people understand. That's all they understand is lawsuits, because it calls attention to something they've done that might be unconstitutional. 844-769-2944, Patrice in Ohio. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Happy Valentine's Day to you.
Well, thank you. It's also my birthday today.
Oh, well, happy birthday to Patrice. Hold on. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Patrice in Ohio. Happy birthday to you. How's that? Did I do okay?
That's very good. Thank you. I wasn't expecting that.
Yes, the nation and the world got to hear it, too. So that's good. Everybody knows it's your...
Yeah.
How many spankings do we get? You don't have to answer that.
Out of the fives, and I'm now into the sixes.
Oh, my goodness. All right, well, How about if I just put a Simpson
in the middle of
your
birthday cake?
But I still
relate to young people.
There you go.
Or you can just put six of them up, and that works too.
There you
go. Since we're in
What's on your mind?
Right?
Yeah. What's on your mind?
Well, I think, okay, we are in the land of lawlessness and have been for quite some time. Legal suits get you nowhere. Just gets attorneys rich. I mean, there is no law. There is no law globally. I mean, you can't tell me that Hillary Clinton can get away with what she got away with. And, you know, she isn't going to pay any price. You know, there is no weapons of mass destruction. You know, people die. People have to wake up to where we're at in society. And it's like we're living in a dual reality. I'm just so dumbfounded that you try. And it's like they're educated individuals. You know, we're talking people that have master's degrees that think they're so smart. But yet I find out that those who have PhDs are the ones that don't get the jab. I mean, those statistics are out there. It's crazy. But
makes you wonder,
the globalists are getting us every which way. And they're getting us legally. They're getting us through taking away guns. What about, let's talk about how their plan is to take away our food. I freaked out last week. I went outside. We got some snow. And I live in southwestern Ohio. And,
right.
You know, we get snow. No big deal. We got a couple inches. I went out and it was like this weird smell I had never smelled before, ever. And because I had never smelled it before, I really couldn't describe it. But it was just a very unnatural smell.
Wow. Let me ask you a question,
Patrice.
You know,
I'm kind of sensitive. Yeah.
Have you seen a lot of chemtrails up in the atmosphere?
Oh, yes. Well, geoengineering. We've talked about this before.
We have.
Which brings me to the point. Yeah, which Dane Winnington put out on his recent blog. He described what it was that I was smelling, and it kind of smelled soapy, but unnatural. And
wow.
Lo and behold, that is what they're seeding the clouds with. And I looked down, and it's these granular pellets that didn't go away. It was in the grass. And it wasn't just out my door. Like a couple of times the whole week, when I'd open the garage door and taken the trash out, you know, to the curb, I smell it again, instantly smell it again. So I had some errands to run in Cincinnati, Ohio, in the city and neighboring towns. Don't you know, wherever I was out where there was snow, I smelled it. Same smell. So it wasn't just outside my door.
Well, Patrice, let me ask you a question.
It's completely artificial. It's completely artificial, and it is
Let me ask you this,
gross.
Patrice. Do you have a jar that you can collect this stuff and take it and have it analyzed somewhere? Is there a lab near you that would analyze whatever that is that you have on your ground?
I probably could, but I don't even know that I trust who to take it to give me the truth about what it really is.
Sure. Well, I mean, most of the...
Us what it is.
Yeah, I get that, but I mean, there are private laboratories out there that'll do that.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you have information to where I could send it, that I could trust the results, please let me know. But I don't know as a, you know, little individual. I know Dane Winnington knows what it is because it talked about it. And there's graphite. He's completely found out now there's graphite in the air.
Right, graphene oxide.
Down on us.
Right, graphene oxide. Yep.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Every state has an agricultural extension service, and some of them may have labs connected, but if any of the listeners out there have an answer to that question 844-769-2944 is the number. We appreciate you chiming in because we're always looking for solutions. And if you see this kind of pellet stuff on the ground where you live and you have this weird smell, I'm just not even sure that it benefits even inhaling and breathing the vapors emitted off of this stuff, which that scares me even more, because if you admit it or, you know, start breathing this stuff in, you know, I would put, you know, gloves on, rubber gloves on, and go out and collect a jar full of this stuff and put it in the freezer. And next time that you have a chance and you find out where there is a lab available, if somebody can call us and let us know. I'm thinking the Agriculture Extension Service probably has information on where there are labs that you can test water samples, because that's what you're trying to test, because you claim that it's moisture, you claim that it has this funny look to it, this funny smell to it, and you don't think that it's normal. So that's something that I think probably, you know, we're going to ask our listeners if they can identify. Russ in Missouri, you are on the Power Hour. Welcome, sir.
Hello, how you doing, Dave?
Doing great. Yourself?
Good. I had a question for you.
Sure.
I was watching the news the other night on OAN, and they had a gentleman on there that was in line for a kidney transplant, and he wouldn't get the vaccine, so they took him off the list, and it just really disturbed me because I'm a transplant patient myself. I've already had mine, but I really felt bad for the guy. And I was wondering, you were talking last week about being able to go after a company or corporation's bond. I wonder if
yes.
he can do that.
Well, this is the thing. Because of the fact that they're forcing you to take something that it's an experimental drug and making it a condition, the thing is that if they are required to have a bond, because that's what pays the damage, the hospital, every hospital has a risk manager. It's a corporation.
Right.
All major corporations have risk managers that are in charge. And if they do, the reason for risk manager is damage control. And that's one of the reasons why they might have a bond. They have insurance policies for malpractice, but to actually have a bond that pays for the actual damage that they cause, I would literally find out because of the fact that denying him a kidney, and that to me, based on the fact he's not vaccinated, well, if he gets vaccinated, what's going to happen to him then? Why does he need a kidney if he's going to get the jab in the first place? Because his entire immune system, according to the research and the science that we know of, is going to be compromised. So why would he want to go do something stupid like that? So it would not be in the hospital's interest to deny him a transplant. And I agree with you, Russ. It does bear looking into to see whether the hospital has a risk manager and whether or not they have a bond.
I needed the chain of what you need to do and risk man. That's what I needed to know. They need to see if they have a risk manager.
Correct. Because that the risk manager, the other word for that is damage control. And what they do is try to snuff out the fire before it gets started. And that's all they're the most unpopular person in the entire chain of HR, because they're catching it from both sides. They're catching it from their bosses and they're catching it from the public.
Yeah. Well, I remember hearing the show that you had where you were talking about the school districts and how they would, you know, if they fear that they're going to lose their bond, that they might change their, you know, whatever their, problem was with the families, you know, change their mind and go the other way. But, you know, we just I just felt so bad for the guy, because I've already had mine. I had mine in 2015, and they've tried to give me vaccines, and I just say, nah, I'm not doing that.
And well, you're a transplant patient. I would think that probably would not work in your best interest.
No, I don't want to put that junk in my in somebody that gave me a heart. You know, and I was very blessed to get it, and then destroy it. And I tried to tell them that, and they're like, "Oh no, no, this is perfectly safe, and you need it because you're a transplant. We want to protect that heart now, you know." And I'm like, "No, I want to protect that heart. Somebody gave me a gift. It's a blessing from God."
Yeah, we sure don't need myocarditis or pericarditis, do we?
No, well, that's what I had before. That's why I had to get the transplant.
Oh, for crying out loud. All right. Well, yeah, I understand that whole scenario now. So Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about the hospital. You know, right now they're claiming that they don't have any liability, which is basically an extension of the EUA, because of the fact that they're a hospital. But the fact they're telling you that it's safe and effective is misleading. And so because of the potential damage, or because of the fact that you are, it's doing the same thing that New York State is and the city are being sued over, because they're discriminating against people who won't take the jab. It works the same way as a violation of the 14th Amendment. So that's
right.
The sort of thing that's what your risk manager needs to hear in every hospital change, because what's going to happen is they're going to call the hospital's attorneys, and the hospital's attorneys are going to call the doctor who said no, and they're going to have a chat with him, because that's a Pandora's box and a can of worms they don't want to open.
Yeah, now I just have to find out how to get a hold of this guy. I didn't have my pen and paper to where I could, you know, write down his information the other night. And I got that feeling. You know, you get that Holy Spirit telling you, hey, you need to do this. And so
That's right. Been
on my mind all day yesterday and today. So, and this isn't the only case. There's a bunch of them out there. They're trying to get some people to go down to Texas because Texas said they would do it. But this guy's got O positive blood, I believe, and it's a harder match to make, so he'd have to start at the bottom again, and he needs it fairly quickly.
Sure.
So,
well, I'm not so sure that, you know, I mean, if they could check into some of the places in Texas that would treat him, and it's sad that you have to get out of state, but the biggest problem about going into a hospital is trying to manage to get out, because so many people that have been in the hospital, all of a sudden they get diagnosed with COVID. Their family can't see them. They literally cut them off. I mean, we had Brian Artis on the show a couple of weeks ago, and he's talking all about the fact that security escorted him out of the hospital, and he's a medical doctor that was sitting there telling them that the hospital's protocols were all wrong, and they weren't listening. Instead, they just wanted to eliminate him, eliminate the protocols, and go back to what they were doing, which eventually killed his father-in-law. So this guy, I mean, obviously, you know, 1 Corinthians has some really, really good, potent stuff about manifestations of the Spirit. There are 9 of them. And if you put 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 in the same context, you will find out exactly how those manifestations are supposed to be used. Everybody likes to pull 1 Corinthians 13 out and call it the love chapter. But see, that's man's interpretation of religion. This is spirituality. And everything that I learned about these 9 manifestations, what you probably got was word of knowledge, and word of wisdom is prompting you to go back, try to find an archive somewhere where they interviewed this guy, and you might find it on YouTube or any place where there are archives available, and do a little bit of research in that, and you probably can locate this guy. Ben Verified is another good source, because I have a subscription to it every time I want to find somebody. And look somebody up, and I want a cell phone number, somebody I can call them. I basically get a subscription to Ben Verified. They're only $39.95 a quarter, I believe. And so you can look up anybody you want and get their phone number. So that might be an option. Word of wisdom would be exactly what to do to deal with it. And so, you know, when you see something like that and the spirit motivates you, Russ, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, this is the first step. So, you know, I've got about 3 steps, and it's out of my hands, but I wanted to inform him, because he wasn't saying anything about, I mean, he said he was getting a lawyer, but, you know, he doesn't have time for a lot of rigmarole. He's got to get, you know, a decision, or he needs to start planning for end of life. And he has kids, and I mean, I've been there. I know what it's like, but I haven't been in that position, but I know what it's like to stare death in the face from, you know, you got to have a transplant, and you got to have it pretty quick. So.
Sure you do. Well, we appreciate your call, and good luck with your search, and hopefully you'll, with the tools we just gave you, you can track them down and get them that information, and we appreciate your call. Thanks so much. All right. Moving along here. The and we don't have too much time left here. Cato Institute, every so often, comes out with a briefing paper. This particular one that I ran across this morning, which we're going to put on your email blast, you go to thepowerhour.com and subscribe, and you can get it and look it up, or you can just go to Cato Briefing Paper. It's called American Protectionism and Construction Materials Costs. Now, what this is about, this is the latest economic results from economists, striking and significant impact for the U.S. trade, construction, and housing policy. After first noting the substantial recent increase in both U.S. construction materials prices and home prices, and they have all the facts and the data to back it up. They've gathered data on the most significant U.S. trade remedy measures affecting the domestic construction materials sector. We understand that wood prices, lumber prices may be coming down a little. I take issue with that depending on what part of the state you're in, how available the prices are, because you know prices, if you've studied economics, the less prices are, the less material that there are, the higher the price. They don't just discount material. They want to get the most out of the material that they can, and that's why the prices go up. These are set by the corporations that sell them. So this is why you see construction material price vary from state to state and point to point. We have so become reliant on the just-in-time system. It's made a mess of things because we only have generally 72 hours, thanks to Walmart. They came up with this nonsense, 72 hours worth of goods and services and products available in the store before they run out, which is why in times of mass casualty or disaster, the store shelves clean out fast. That's one of the reasons why we're coming up with solutions as to how to grow your own food and get yourself in a position where you can sustain through anything. And by the way, as long as you're thinking about pets, if you have a pet, here's a little story we're going to publish. There's a reason why broccoli is considered to be one of the most well-loved vegetables in America, especially among health food enthusiasts. And it's also earned the distinction of being a superfood, and you can give it to your pet. Great pet treater component of your nutritionally balanced pet diet. That story will also be on there for you. Email us, support@thepowerhour.com. Until tomorrow, have a happy Valentine's Day. Dave Krieger with you, saying God bless you and God bless the United States of America.
All heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.